Let's get our Bibles out and make confession over our Bibles this morning. This is my Bible. It's God's Word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything that God has for me today. In Jesus' name. All right, be excited about it. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Anybody needs one? We've got some to share. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I don't know if you heard Joel Osteen this morning was sharing it. He said, you know, start with this funny story this morning, and he said, is that a man comes up on a country store, and there's a little boy sitting there in front, and a huge dog sitting beside him, and the guy came up to him and said, does your dog bite? And he said, no. So the man reached out his hand to pet him, and sure enough, the dog bit him. And he said, I thought you said your dog didn't bite. And he said, it's not my dog. Got to be careful what you're saying sometimes. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's a life to live for God. You know, there is a race to run. It's not you just get saved and then, it's not supposed to be you just get saved and then kind of hang on and hope you get out of here. You know, I guess in a sense when the rapture happens, it'll be rescue, but that shouldn't be the focus of our life. Amen. If the rapture happens when we're here, praise God, glory to God. Amen. God wants to do it today, we're for it. Amen? Amen? In the meantime, we should be living for God and progressing in God. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, the words are interesting here. When it says, lay aside, you know, we've been talking about, and Diane's been talking about a lot of Ephesians 4:22. Put off the old man. Same word used here. Lay aside. Lay aside what? All malice. Vicious disposition is defined as. All deceit. Intentional concealment or misrepresentation of truth. Not supposed to do that. And God has to tell Christians that, doesn't he? All hypocrisy, play acting, trying to pretend that you're something that you're not. Envy, a longing to possess something awarded to or achieved by another. And all evil speaking, defamation of character. You can get yourself in trouble with that in a legal sense, but you certainly get yourself in trouble with that with your words when you're putting other people down. Do other people do stupid stuff? Yeah, but so do you. So we're not supposed to be talking about that. We're supposed to be focusing on take heed to yourself, the Bible says. Amen? Amen. And then as newborn babes desires the pure milk of the word. Now, there's a scripture in another place in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, where it talks about you, and Hebrews also, you know, you're on milk and you should be making more progress in that. That's not the principle here. The principle here is the pure milk. Not that you only need the basic easy to understand principles of the Word of God. That's good too. That we need sometimes to need to get a hold of things that doesn't take much chewing. You can just swallow, and God is good. You know those kind of things. But we also need the things to take a little chewing on. Amen. You know, like forgive and things like that. But the focus here is the pure milk of the Word. No adding in, not letting it be adulterated by your own thoughts and probably even a lot of times our own beliefs that we thought were right but are not. But we need to change. Repentance is changing your mind. Right. Something we need to do on a regular basis. Right. It's not just to get born again and then we changed our mind about God and we got born again. But now every day almost, it seems like we find something else and need to change our mind about that because it wasn't right there. Yeah. When it comes to, you know, God and I are on different sides of the thing, I better change my mind quick and get on his side because he's not going to change. Amen. So there's a place to go. There's a growing that needs to happen. And in the natural, if you just, you know, eat a little food, get a little rest, a little exercise, you're going to grow. But in the spiritual, it doesn't just happen. We have to purpose to grow. Amen. You can have a person who's 20 years old in Christ and just, they just like new babies, just haven't grown at all. And you know, if you see that in the natural, where you've got a person who's now 20 years old, and mentally or physically or whatever, they're still like babies, you know something's wrong. Something's gone wrong there. Well, it's the same way in the spiritual. There should be a progress. We've been listening to Dr. Lemon's message that he just preached to us a few weeks ago. And he's talking about, we need to make progress. We need to know some things. We should know some things, not just have mental knowledge of it, but know it in the sense that we're living by some things. Because most of us have been at this for a while. Amen. We didn't just start out on this yesterday. And it should look like we've made some progress. Our lives should be a little different now every day, you know. Not just better, but more in tune with what God wants for us. Somebody said, I got a lot of quotes for you this morning, so hopefully these will help you out, not only the Bible, but other places. Somebody said, hard to know you're stalled if you don't know there's a journey. I think a lot of people are stalled. Some people are stalled because they started on the journey and it was more difficult than they thought, and so they stopped. But I think some people just don't even know there's a journey. We're supposed to be going someplace. And the destination is not just when we get to heaven. There's a process here that we go through. We allow God to work in our lives. If we want him to, he's not gonna mess with us if we don't want him to. Right. If you say God, hands off, like Diane was saying this morning with giving. I don't like this tithing system. Well, you won't mess. But if there's nothing invested in, then there's nothing to come back out. And again, like she said, you're calling on the Lord. I need help now, and there's nothing to invest back into you because nothing's been invested in. God's going to be good all the time. He's not going to do any bad. He's not going to, praise God, he doesn't slap us upside the head. I think he could sometimes, but there's nothing to come back because there's nothing invested in. I remember, most of you were along for the ride when we used to live in Pattersonville, and at the time we had a house out there was not what we wanted, and we started thinking about maybe there was a garage there, maybe we'll make a garage into kind of we're going to make it a bedroom suite or something like that, and it wasn't looking like we could do that. We weren't thinking at all about moving or building, but the Lord really just dropped in our heart, you guys need to build a house. That wasn't what we were looking for, but in the process we recognized it wasn't just some desire we had, it was something God wanted us to do. And what that did is it put a lot of pressure on us, but now we had somewhere to go. We had to find a place to build the house. We had to contact a builder. You know, there's a process to go through with. There's money that you have to have for this, money that you have to have for that, and you got to, try things out and see if you got the right builder and the right this and the right that. Get the money together, talk to the bank, all those things. So, and the process was good, even though it put a lot of pressure on us because we were going somewhere. And growing is going to put some pressure on you. I think sometimes we stop because we don't like the pressure. But you know, if you're 20 years down the road and still where you started out, you didn't go very far down the road. We need to grow. Somebody else said Christianity is not supposed to be a spectator sport. We're not supposed to sit on the side and watch everybody else see how they're doing. Get involved. Most any of us have been involved in any sport, we didn't like sitting on the bench. We liked getting involved. Well, get involved in the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, his righteousness. All these things will be added unto us. Now, I've been reading a book on growth. This is what they did. It's interesting. It took me a while to get into it. It's a lot of detail. But somebody that involved in a big church in the Midwest decided that they were going to put out a survey and see if they could discover that the church is doing really well. A lot of people coming to church, people involved in small groups, seem to have enough finances and everything. What they want to do is look at all the programs of their church and see which ones were helping the people grow the most, which makes sense. You want to invest in the things that are producing the most. So they went in a lot of detail. I think they're hooked in with Barn and everything, so they really know how to scope these things out. And first they did it in their church, which is a huge church, thousands of people. And unfortunately, what they found out was not what they were looking for. They found out that people, that even though they had more people, that people in general weren't growing. That was kind of startling to them. I think it happens a lot. It's just because you got a lot of people coming in and out, a lot of stuff going on, doesn't necessarily mean that people are growing in the Lord. We want people to grow in the Lord. Diane and I, if we know anything else, we're supposed to help people become disciples and then continue to be disciples and grow as disciples all their Christian life. till Jesus comes or they get out of here. And so they thought they were going to look at this one to help them, this one's not, but they found out people aren't growing. Well, then they went bigger and they were in contact with a lot of other churches and put it out to other churches. And eventually they had 250,000 surveys put out. So that gave them a lot of information to work with. And they discovered some things along the way. That's what the book is all about. Now, here's what they gave is the five most influential steps to spiritual growth. May not be what you think. Number one, believe that God is personally involved in your life. Amen. It's not necessarily in order, but these are the five. Believe that God is personally involved in your life. Secondly, ask God for guidance daily. Third, reflect on Scripture regularly. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Next, have six or more meaningful conversations with unbelievers in a year. It's a sign that people are growing. Sometimes we try to stay away from those unbelievers. Get away from me. But we're supposed to be around them. And the last one was, be a tither. Indication of growth. Interesting that we'll be talking about that this morning. But regularly reflecting on Scripture for meaning in your life was by far number one. The Word. Now, I hope that you're not turning this off. Pastor can tell us to read our Bible. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't tell you not to read your Bible, that's for sure. But I think we're going to add a nuance to it this morning that because it's not just about reading your Bible. I've found that people can read their Bible and not grow at all. Every day, read your Bible. Just make it a part of your everyday life and read it. But if it's not connecting somehow, it's just like you're reading Shakespeare or something like that, it's not going to have the same effect as it would if you're reflecting on Scripture for meaning in your life on a regular basis. Can you see how that would be different? That's right. Information but no application. So, you know, and again, you know, people can know a lot about the Bible and they could tell you where Scripture is. And that sounds like, you know, I can tell you where a lot of Scripture is, but there was a time in my life when it was just information and not so much application. And this is another one of those things that hits us right in the face. We've got to do it for ourselves. I think we've done a pretty decent job over the years of teaching the Word, but you have to take that Word and get it into your life and then reflect on that meaning in your life. When every day is not Sunday. Monday comes every week too. And so you got to get out there and see, what am I going to do with this now? We've endeavored to, I don't know if we've always done it really well, but we've endeavored to teach the Bible in such a way that it could have reflection of meaning in your life. That it wasn't just spiritual platitudes of some kind that isn't that nice, but, you know, we teach on healing because people face sickness and disease. We teach on prosperity because people have to have money and pay their bills. We've taught on marriage. We've taught on because this is real life. But if it's not reflected into our lives and taken into our lives as a director, it's not going to help much. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I love verse 16 and 17. It's just been a part of me for a long time. I love it along with all the rest of them. I want to read it to you this morning out of the New Living Translation. All Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture. Amen. The stuff we like and the stuff we don't. And is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what's right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way. God's way of preparing us in every way. Fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Amen. Talk about our number one piece of equipment, instrument. There it is. Amen. Now, I would dare to believe that every one of you have a Bible of your own, at least one. But it's not, and I probably a lot of you, like I have, lots of them. Almost feels like you can't have enough. I like to have lots of different translations and look at it in different ways and so on, to get the most out of it. But it's not just owning them. It's what we do with them. Let me just give you kind of an overview of my testimony with the Word, just as to hopefully bring some light on this. Diane said we visited home recently and was talking to my mom. I've been thinking up to this point that I was born again about 6 or 7 years old, but I'm finding out I was probably more like 10 or 11 and got born again in my my uncle started a church, started in Assemblies of God Church. And I think when I was 12, he got a disease and passed on, went to be with the Lord early. Didn't need to, but didn't have much teaching about healing for everybody back in those days. But we truly got born again. My whole family, none of us were born again. We started going to Uncle Paul's church, and every one of us got born again. And met. That's when we met Diane's family, Diane's mom. And eventually, you know where that led, so praise God. Good things. When I was 12, for either my birthday or Christmas, both in December, my mom got me a Bible, a Schofield Bible. And I believe it had my name in gold. Like, you know, you get a leather-bound Bible and you get your name in gold. And I had that Bible for a long time. I had that Bible clear into Bible school. Kind of wore it out in some ways. And was really, you know, proud to have it. I loved it. I carried it, but I didn't read it much. I took it to church. And when the pastor was preaching, I opened up to the passage he was talking about. But when it was home, it was home. Now, I know none of you have ever been like that. But, you know, this was me. So this is my story. I'm preaching. It's my story. Okay. Through the process of time, and you know, when we got born again, we went to church. We went to church whenever church was having church. We went Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and whenever anything else was going on. And through Sunday school, which is a great thing, in church, you get familiar with Scripture. Even though, you're only taking it to church, reading it in church, but you're hearing about it, so you start to know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, and what this sounds more like Paul, and that sounds more like John, and, you know, these kind of things, which is good. But it's still not what we're talking about of reflecting on in our everyday life for meaning out of Scripture. I went to Northeast Bible Institute. I went from 1967 to 71. So that was intensive time in the Word of God. Some of our classes were like studying the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and, you know, those kind of things. So you're going to get a lot of Scripture in. And, of course, I had my Bible. And when I took it to class with me and we listened in, sometimes I listened in class. And then I took it back to my room and there it stayed. And it didn't have any devotional per se and was not reflecting on Scripture in my life. But, you know, you're learning more about it. Could tell you a lot about it. Tell you where things are found. Who wrote what book and those kind of things. We had a minister when was Brother Shell at our church? Was I in Bible school then? Anywhere around that time, William Shell, an older man, a great preacher, teacher of the gospel, came, and the church was small. The church was, on Thursday night or Wednesday night Bible study, we'd probably have 6 of us, maybe. But he had a way of teaching the Word that made you love it. He would just, I can remember him demonstrating what Paul was talking about here and what Peter was talking about here. And so there was something beginning to happen. I think that to the extent that you care about the Word and really love the Word, it's going to have a big impetus in your life of how much you're going to allow it to steer you and you know, direct your life around it. Don't you love it? I mean, isn't there something about the Bible that just, it bothers me to hear people, do I have to? I don't. We get to. And you hear about people who live in countries where it's almost illegal to be a Christian and they can't even have a Bible right out in the open, or sometimes all they've got is one of the books or something like that. We have the privilege of having all the copies of the Word of God that you want to have. The Word of God. In 73, we started at Christmas time or New Year's, a singing group, gospel group called the Gospel Truth. And so in the process of that, we got invited around a little bit into Pennsylvania, Assemblies of God churches to sing we used to do Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and then come back again. So, and we from the beginning, didn't just sing. We ministered the Word of God. So, you know, I begin to have to study and look into the Word, be able to have something to say that was worthwhile to the people we were going around to. Still wasn't doing a regular devotional time, but starting to use the Word more. My Aunt Bobby had given me a copy of the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of, you know, Greek and Hebrew words. And I thought all that was for was just so you could find scripture. Let me see, there's a scripture where it says something about light. I can look it up there and find out where it is, which is good. But then I found out in the back of the book, there are definitions for out of the Hebrew and definitions for the Old Testament and out of the Greek for the New Testament. And you can dig more into the Word. And that, now, Brother Shell was giving us a love for the Word. I was finding out you could dig in there and really find some meaning. And you didn't have to be a great Greek scholar. I didn't take any courses in Greek or anything like that, but to find out what the deep meaning of the word was good. Amen. And it was growing, praise God. 78 to 79, Diane and I traveled to Oklahoma, and we went to Raymond Bible Training Center. Wow. I can remember sitting in Bobby Indian's class on the book of Ephesians. It used to be, you know, school was something you do. You get that class over with, you go on to the next one and hope it's done soon. You sit there at the end of the class, and it can't be over with already. It's too good. Can't we go on? Because he was digging into the Word and showing us just how good it can be. It can be that good. You know, if you've never had it be that good, it can. But it's going to probably require a change in you. In the early years, then we came up here out of Raymond, got the church started. And in the early years, almost all my reading and study was, to be honest with you, for sermons to teach. It was a big revelation when we started the church, you know, thinking, Wayne, you're going to have to teach two or three times every week. So I had to, you know, have something to say. And the Lord was good in the midst of all that to give me something to say. But over the years, probably because life is challenging, whether you're a preacher or not, even if you have the title of pastor, it's still challenging. We don't get out of anything just because we're preaching it. They had to begin to learn to reflect on meaning for my life out of the Word of God. What do you do when you're a pastor and you realize that you're depressed? Better find out what Scripture says that you can steer your life back out of that again. I've been down that road and I'm not going again. You understand what I'm saying? It's more than just, there's reading and there's studying, but then there's reflecting on what the Word means for you. And if you haven't been challenged yet, you're going to be. Some of you probably sitting right in the middle of the biggest challenge you've ever had for your life. And I'm telling you, if you reflect on Scripture, if you look in there expecting God to give you answers, there are answers in the book. And they're the most important answers. And they'll get you through tough times. When we were up in the process of going through building a church, one of the things we came face to face with was we recognized the building that we needed wasn't out there. And boy, we looked. We tried to go over in Schenectady, and the Lord said, stay on this side of the river. And it just wasn't out there until we recognized we're going to have to buy some land, build a building. And when you see, this is where reflecting in Scripture comes along. I remember being on the property just down the road here. The lady that was going to our church at the time, very well-to-do lady, wealthy lady, and she was basically kind of hinting that she might even give us this property. And so I got with a backhoe on the property and wanted to see what kind of shape the soil was in. And he's taking the backhoe, digging into the soil, and the teeth of the backhoe wouldn't even penetrate. It was listed as loose shale. It wasn't anything loose about it, let me tell you. And see, he was reflecting on Scripture. I almost like an audible voice, I heard the Lord say, I have something better for you than this. Now, here's what I want you to get. Reflecting on Scripture is not always a quote verse per se. But the principles of the Word are in you, and you know God is good. He's good all the time, and he only wants to give you good things. Amen. So it's easier for him to speak to you and reflect that into you. God doesn't want you to be messing around with this, having to blast stones out of the way just to build a foundation. I don't know what we'd have done with a septic system and all that kind of stuff. Somebody else has worked it out, but we didn't have to. And the peace in our heart when we saw this property and the Lord took very good care of us there. Then there was a specific, sometimes there's a specific verse that really helps out. We were still in the old building and thinking about what we're going to do, and we wanted to focus on the right things. Isn't that what we want to do with our lives? So we had, I was holding some Bible studies up in Glens Falls. Pastor Phil and Connie were ministering over there in Johnstown. And I was trying to get from the Lord what's next. And I was reading Proverbs every day. And I came across Proverbs, scripture that said, do your work in the field and then build your house. So that was, to me, that was very clear. You know, start these other things. Get some work going out there, and then it'll be time to build your house. And, you know, now do you realize that the Believers Fellowship Center of Johnstown is 25 years old? And the work in Glens Falls, eventually that didn't go in that direction. I thought that was going to be the one, but it turned out to be Johnstown. I was going all the way to Crown Point at one time holding Bible studies. But the Lord said to do that first, and then we started to build the house, and things began to go from there. So, you know, sometimes a specific verse that just jumps out at you. You think, has that been there all the time? But God can take something that you thought you knew and say something different out of it. If you're reflecting on scripture for meaning in your life. Yes. Turn to a couple of scriptures in Psalm 119. Let's look at 130. There's a lot of verses there. Psalm 119, 130. Probably have these underlined already. I don't want you to go away and just think today all pastor said was just read your Bible. I must have said that 1,000 times, a couple thousand times over the years, and I think you should, but I want you to think reflecting on scripture for meaning in your life. The entrance of your words gives light. He gives understanding to the simple. The word simple in the Old Testament means a naive person that's easily deceived. Anybody qualify? Don't raise your hand. We've all been there. But if you let the word have entrance, it gives light. Now go back a few verses to 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You must have memorized that in Sunday school when I was knee-high to a grasshopper a long time ago. Light unto my feet means it'll show you where you are, and sometimes that's exactly what we need. Because if you're gonna get direction, it always starts out with where are you now, right? As you could say, you know, some people ask direction to the church. Well, it's over there, it's 304 Strike Down Road. Doesn't make much difference in knowing that if you don't know where you are. Find out where are you, and then a light in my path, it'll show you, it'll shine out in front of you and show you the direction to go. Your word, and the entrance of your word brings that light, bright light. I see a lot of, I watch a lot of shows about Alaska and everything, and, you know, part of the year it's dark all the time, and they wear these, they put a light right up on their forehead so they can see where they're going, driving along through the woods on a snowmobile with that light so they don't run into anything, hopefully. Well, you know, life is like that sometimes. Seems like sometimes life is pretty dark, but in the midst of that, if we can learn to reflect on scripture and say, Lord, there's something you're telling me here. There's a direction you have for me here. There's a way through this. I'm either going to go through it, over it, around it, or something, but I'm going to get to the other side. Because God never said go halfway across and sink. He wants to get somewhere. Every one of us can, you know, take a self-reflection and look back and say, well, now it's 2013. Soon it's going to be 2014. Am I making progress? Am I getting anywhere? Or am I sitting in the same place? I don't want to be in November of 2014 been sitting in the same place. Sad when you go year after year. Some people say, I have 25 years of experience. It's the same experience, 25 years over. It's not what we're looking for. We want something to be different, not just different, but good, but we're making progress. We're going somewhere. The church, we've made a lot of progress over 34 and a half years now, but there's a lot of progress to make. The Lord certainly is not done with us. We're excited. Dr. Lemon was saying a little bit about, you know, we're we're going to do some things for God. There's some things coming that we're going to be talking to you about. I think we've started momentum again, and we're going to move forward and do some things for the Lord, because we don't want to be here. Not physically, but we don't want to be in the same space, same place spiritually next year that we've been. And move on. Do some things for God. Praise God. So you ask yourself, you come to a situation, you ask yourself, what does God's word say about this? Is there a specific scripture, or is there a scriptural principle that I'm dealing with here? I'll tell you, it's a difficult place to deal with those kind of things is when you're having a disagreement with somebody close to you, and you feel like you're right and they're wrong. That's a real fun time to say, well, what is there a scriptural principle here? Because the scriptural principle might come right up and smack you in the face and say you're wrong. And it'll certainly say forgive. It'll certainly say watch what you say. Amen? I remember, it comes to mind, Doreen was on our, I think we called it advisory. We call it advisory board. And way, way back. And there was a pretty big disagreement between some of the things that were going on. And, people are saying this side, people are saying that side. And Doreen said, why don't we stop and pray? And I almost want to say, Doreen, you always want to pray, you know, but go away. Because I want to make my point. I can tell you that now. But you know, at times like that, we don't really want to check and see what the scripture says. We don't want to see what God has to say. We want our way. My way or the highway. And especially, I think, sometimes when we're not the one who gets to make the final decision, but we'd like to. So let me tell you what I think. Well, let's find out what God thinks. That might be a better way to go. Somebody said this, the Bible is not just a reference book, it should be the DNA of our lives. Amen. It's a reference book. You can find a lot of good things in there. But the DNA of your life, what made a Smith Wigglesworth and a John G. Lake, Lillian B. Yeomans, these people, I think a lot of it was that. The Word of God was the DNA of their life. They should have died, but they lived. Or Robert should have died with tuberculosis, but took hold of the Word of God and learned about seed faith. Amen? Kenneth Hagin should have died with an incurable blood disease. But he came across Mark 11, 23 and 24 and believed it. And it became such a part of his life that he said to himself, well, if I'm healed, what am I doing in bed? And got out of bed. What we have to think is, well, God didn't love Brother Hagin any more than he loves us. If we would do the same thing, we'd probably get the same results. And whatever we personally are going through, that's the thing that seems incurable to us. What everybody else is going through is not that big a deal. But when it smacks me in the face, when I'm struggling financially, when I'm the one who's in the middle of this, then that's a big thing. But if the Word of God is the DNA of our life, we're going to be all right. Some quotes. The Bible's God in paperback form. Everything we need is there. Ronald Reagan, my favorite president, I have to say, said this. Within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. Creflo Dollar, if you've decided to follow God, act like him, speak like him, imitate his character, which is found in his word, reflect on God's goodness. How are we going to be like God? We have to find out what he's like in his word. There's a pastor in Florida who said, if your business is failing or your marriage is failing, and you're failing as a parent, the principles for getting things back on track are in the Word of God. The reason you're failing is you don't know and apply the Word of God.
Amen.
It's not, Brother Hagin used to say, it's not the circumstance of life that defeat us. It's our own belief or lack of belief in the Word of God. This particular book that I'm reading had this statement in there. Congregants, which is you, part of the congregation, who say that they reflect on Scripture for meaning in their lives every day, the percentage is as low as 3%, or as high as 42%. Average for all churches in their survey was 21%, but in churches that growing spiritually, it was 24 or 34%. All of those seem low to me. But, you know, I can't deal with the congregation other than tell you what I think is the truth. I have to deal with me. I'm admitting to you this morning, I was a pastor teaching the Word of God and wasn't doing that. Wasn't reflecting on Scripture every day. But I do now, because I know that there's more problems out there down the road. I know there's more things to face. And I've made it through some things, and I want to keep making through some things. And it's going to take the Word of God to do that. What do you think? Is that only for pastors? For all of us. Another pastor said this. People don't realize that faith isn't about making a commitment to attend services. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to change who you are on the inside, the transformation that occurs only by God, not by us. Information, application, transformation. We need a paradigm shift from a mindset that weekend services must carry the burden of transformation to a mindset that what happens between services is the lifeblood of transformation. That is, the more time people spend engaged with God outside the church, the more likely they are to grow as disciples in Christ. Does that mean we don't need to come to church? No, we still need church. But what's that saying basically is this, what happens outside, what you do with God outside the church is more, there's more dependence upon that as far as your spiritual growth is concerned than what happens inside. You could be going to the greatest church there ever was and not grow a lick. You could be falling back. But what happens on the outside? Reflecting on Scripture when it's just you and the problems that you're facing has much more to say about whether you're going to grow in God or not. What's been said is we need a new normal. We don't need the same old, same old. It's, you know, the Word of God, the things that are our pillars, we stay on those things. But imagine hearing Scripture quoted in the foyer, the parking lot, at the Welcome Center, over coffee, from parents checking their kids in, and ministry team members straightening up after services and people quoting Scripture, maybe not, you know, paraphrase, but just talking about Scripture principles in all those situations, which certainly should be able to be happening here because we're a church. But imagine then you're meeting Christians along the way, and that's what's happening, what you're hearing. Reflection of Scripture, reflection of the Word of God, because so much part of their life is the actual DNA of their life. We'd have to make a difference. I think it's going to take that in these last days. You know, yes. Dr. Levin was talking about the perilous times that we live in. What's going to change that? Christians being Christians. Disciples of Christ live in the Word of God. Imagine every congregant, when challenged by life, asking themselves, what does the Bible have to say about this? And I say this because, you know, a lot of times, and I don't mean to sound judgmental, but a lot of times, the very thing that we minister here on a Sunday morning, and we go out there and then greet people, and they're already talking against what we just said. We could spend a morning talking about just say good words, say positive things, and go out there and get dumped on all the negative stuff that's going on. And I understand sometimes you need to talk about things and, you know, to get prayer, but somebody said that, you know, you should only talk about some those kind of things to somebody who can help you, and because you're looking for help, not just because you like to dump. But that's just one part of it. When the very thing that we've been trying to drive home, or not just us, but anybody who's ministering tries to drive home, and then before we even get out of the building, it's already turned around. Well, something didn't connect somewhere. Imagine we as church leaders modeling this new norm in our own lives. Like I said, just because you're a pastor, the pastor's wife, just because you have a title for ministry doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing this. You could be a great teacher in children's ministries, those kind of things, and still not reflect on Scripture for your own life. Amen? If we all had Christian tattooed to our forehead, wouldn't necessarily mean much change unless somehow it got on the inside and we begin to do that. Somebody said church leaders need to bleed Christians. Excuse me. Church leaders need to bleed scriptures when they're cut.
Amen. Amen.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Am I making any dent this morning, you know? You got to think. Don't think, just read. Some of you are not even thinking read, but, you know, start reading, but think reflection. Hebrews 4:12. In the Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive. This Bible that you're holding on your lap is not archaic. It's not out of date. It's not old-fashioned.
Amen.
It's alive.
Amen.
And full of power. The word for power, there's the word for energy. You need some energy in your life?
Yes.
Here's where it comes. Plug in.
Amen.
Making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of soul, breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit. It's only by the word of God that you can know the difference between spirit and soul.
Right.
How else would we know? And of the joints and marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature. Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. It's been revealed to me, and I've been trying to get across to you. Some of the things that we believe strongly, but they aren't right. It's not based upon the word. We thought it was. We come along and we have to change our mind because it wasn't. How are you going to know? You have to go back to the word. Reflect on scripture. And let it expose and sift and analyze and judge the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Thoughts, the things that are running through your mind, that some of them came up from your spirit, some of them just came in from the outside, some of them need to be passed right on, some of them need to be cast out, put off, some of them need to be adopted and grabbed hold of. And you're only going to know by the word of God which ones are which. And the purposes, the things, the principles that you're actually living your life by, and I'm living my life by, probably some of them are wrong. And that's why we have the trouble that we have. But not all the trouble that we have comes from the devil or circumstance. Some of it's our own doing. Because the purpose of our life are wrong. And God still loves us. We're still righteous, praise God. We're on our way to heaven, but in the midst, we're going to have to make some changes if we're going to enjoy the kind of life that God wants to have and have an effect on other people's lives and get a work done for God before Jesus comes back. Now, change some things. Can you admit to yourself that some of the purpose in your life might be wrong? Me? Moi? Yeah. Have you found some things along? If you've been a Christian for very long, you probably found some things already. Well, whoop, that was wrong. The whole thing of finding out how important words were was just like somebody hitting me upside the head with a bat or something, like, because all my life I was saying what I felt like I needed to say at the time, not even thinking about whether it was in line with what God was saying out of his word or not. And then I read Proverbs. But I want to say it this way. I've read Proverbs a lot of times. All of a sudden I read Proverbs and started reflecting on what that meant to me. And it started with listening to a Kenneth Copeland tape on the power of the tongue. And I'm thinking, you know, laughing and thinking, God's saying, you say that. You ever do that? Laughing at, because the preacher's talking about somebody and all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, yep, and you're one of those. Need some changes. How are we going to know? By the word of God. You're privileged as you sit here this morning to have all the word that you want to have. Listen to it as much as you want to listen to it. In fact, here's what it comes down to. You're getting as much word in your life as you want to.
Right.
Not getting enough? Well, you're getting as much as you want to. We all do what we think is most important for us.
Right.
And I think the word's pretty important. It doesn't take an awful lot of time. Are every one of us busy? Absolutely. But yet, well, all of us can fit it into our life in a way that as we face the problems of life, we can say, What's the Word of God have to say about this? Say that with me. What does the Word of God have to say about this? It's not very complicated, is it? Praise God. And if we give him an opportunity, the Holy Spirit's going to take that and show us what we need to know. Let's just put our hands up and worship him, thank him for his word this morning.